straightforward case, but I'm happy to benefit from your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will keep my remarks brief and respond to any questions the Court may have. May it please the Court, I am Benjamin Katz, appearing on behalf of the Commonwealth. In challenging the sufficiency of the evidence supporting the defendant's convictions, as the Court is aware, he challenges the possession of marijuana with the intent to distribute, arguing that it rested upon his mere presence alone, and challenges the conspiracy conviction, arguing that there was no evidence demonstrating the existence of the conspiracy. And if I could address the conspiracy conviction briefly, I would simply assert that there was ample circumstantial evidence supporting the existence of the conspiracy, and the fact finder specifically cited the circumstantial evidence in finding the conspiracy. And briefly, I would point out the defendant's argument that he abandoned the drug trade was certainly not something that the fact finder had to credit and could reject it and find that he was lying to conceal knowledge of his guilt. And similarly, the statement testified to by Marino that Kemp did not want to have any drugs in the house was not required to be credited. The sincerity of that statement was not required to be credited. And so the evidence demonstrated that, mindful of police knowledge that he was dealing drugs, he took efforts to make Marino bear all the risks of dealing drugs. And certainly that was a factor that the fact finder could rely on. There was evidence in the record that drugs were being dealt from the house, that this relationship had been set up to make Marino bear the risk of dealing the drugs.
Marino testified that they had sold drugs since they moved into the house, which was 5 months earlier.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And that the appellant grew marijuana in the house and stopped when he was afraid the police were coming.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he knew that people were selling drugs, at least from his front yard.
Absolutely. Further, Marino testified that on two prior occasions in the months preceding the search, that he had received the marijuana from Travis with instructions to give it to the defendant. And so all of that evidence was before the fact finder, in addition to the presence of the scales and the shotgun found in Kemp's
room. So is it a fair inference that that the appellant, Marino, and Travis, each had a role, each had a separate role in the distribution of drugs?
Yes, Your Honor. That was certainly before the fact finder, and the fact finder reached that conclusion. And I would argue that it was not an error. If there are any additional questions on the conspiracy point, I'm happy to address them. If not, I'll move on to the possession. The defendant on brief seems to focus on the question of whether he was an accessory before the fact, and as the Commonwealth responded, being a principal in the second degree, I believe, is the more accurate assessment. He was present at the time the drugs were conveyed to Marino by Travis, and I would argue that he lent his countenance and approval to that act. They continued to socialize with Travis and all of the circumstances that supported the existence of the conspiracy.
But the appellant wasn't indicted, tried, nor found guilty of being an accessory before the fact, was he?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe he was.
So that is that issue then before us, or do we just address the conspiracy?
Well, certainly that would be a question for this Court. I think that would be fine to say that that issue was not before the Court. To the extent that the conviction has been challenged and the Court reaches the merits of the challenge, I would argue that the conviction is sound and should stand. I would ask the Court to affirm. We'd be happy to respond to any additional questions on the possession charge.
Thank you so much for your argument. We'll come down to Greek Council and take a recess.